Welcome to the BBB National Programs Podcast, Better Series, where we will explore top-of-mind topics and self-regulation with business and industry leaders. Together, we seek to understand the leading trends and innovations that continue to push the envelope in today's marketplace.
Thank you for joining us today on the Better Series Podcast. I'm James Lee. In the years following the end of World War II, former General and future President Dwight Eisenhower described how he planned D-Day, the largest invasion in human history. Quote, "In preparing for battle, I always found that plans are useless, but planning is indispensable." End quote. Today, businesses of all sizes, along with the people who work at them or support them, are currently dealing with unprecedented business disruptions. It's fair to say there will be changes to how we do business, or at least how we plan and respond to future business disruptions. As we record this discussion, with me sitting at my home, in my closet, and our guest at a remote location, we are still in the middle of social distancing on a massive scale. But there are already lessons we can apply to our current business operations, as well as experiences that will help us address the next time there is something that disrupts our businesses. Bob Mellinger is CEO of Attanium, a company that specializes in business continuity and emergency preparedness. And he joins us today to talk about the risks and rewards of planning. Bob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, James.
Well, I guess, you know, we should start with the obvious question. Is it too late to plan now?
James, it's never too late to plan. The key is what you're planning for at this particular point in time. It's fair to say that preparation's a little tough at this point because you're in the middle of what one would call a response activity. So no, I think if you're at the point now where you're listening to this from your home because you're working from home, you're part of a team that's doing conference calls to work through this pandemic, then it's never too late to plan. Just know where you are in that particular process.
So just to keep on that theme then for a second, what are the things people should be thinking about and doing right now while we're in the middle of all this?
We're in the response phase right now of this crisis. So people are trying to determine what they should be doing. When do you go back to work? How do you go back to work? What's the impact on the business based on how long you're going to be out? So that kind of falls into a monitoring and an assessment phase. So is it getting better or worse? I'm not going to predict that because I don't think that's wise on any front. But I do think that people should be looking at that to make a determination based on what, for example, their state governments are saying. What are the stay-at-home orders like? If you do go back, was someone sick at the that was in your office? Do you need to sanitize your office? What types of services can you run and what can you not run successfully? So we work a lot with event planners, for example, and there's a lot of meetings not happening right now. So the question is, do you do them virtually? Do you push them off? Do you schedule them for 6 months out when you hope that this thing will be over? What do you do? Do you just cancel them outright? So looking at your business functions, I think, is something you can do right now. Determining how to deal with your staff. People working from home in a lot of cases is not a normal situation. It requires a complete revisiting of how one does their day. You now have kids and barking dogs in the background when you're talking with your other staff members. So how do you deal with all that? How do you deal with the human resource component of what you do? What if your business doesn't allow you to work from home? I mean, look at restaurants, look at a variety of others. I mean, dentists and doctors' offices that are not directly involved in that medical treatment, that get a dental checkup at this point is difficult. So depending on what you're looking at, you can work from home and you can't work from home, depending on what it is that you do. So right now, I would say most businesses should be looking at that. So the assessing the impact on their business, looking out to see when and how they might be able to get back to work, and then determining the impact on the staff.
I think it's probably fair to say that whether you're an entrepreneur with an employee complement of yourself, all the way up to the largest corporations in the world, we're all familiar as business people with this concept of business continuity. We're familiar with the concept of planning. But this is one of those things. It's kind of like insurance. Nobody ever likes to buy insurance, but you usually have to, and you do it, you write that check begrudgingly. Business continuity kind of falls into that same bucket for a lot of people. What is the value of planning for things that may or may not ever happen? Whether you're a small business or a big business, is the value the same? And what is the real value?
There's kind of two things. One is, I think your insurance analogy is a really good one because it is something that people do not like to do. But if you do business continuity right, it can also make your business more efficient, because what you're doing now is reviewing key business functions, processes, communication protocols and relationships. And the more you look at them from various aspects, the better they're going to be. So most people look at their business process from the standpoint of how it, you know, evolves on a normal day. On the flip side is what do you do when it comes time to actually be disrupted? Well, that's a whole different way of looking at things. You know, just looking at the whole work from home thing. A lot of groups said that was their strategy, but on the other hand, no one ever tried it. So I think the value in it is that it gives you a better look at your business from a number of different perspectives, most of which are not the pleasant ones, everything running smoothly. They're more from the what is something bad happens. So whether it's a pandemic or a hurricane or an earthquake or a gas main explosion, it doesn't really matter. One needs to look at how one is going to react to that crisis. Is it a crisis you can handle well? How do you communicate during that crisis? Who do you communicate to? Number of organizations when I was back living in Virginia, you know, had a real easy way of dealing with massive snowfall. You know, if the government was closed, they were closed. Well, by the way, that's business continuity too. It's very simple, but understanding how you respond in a given circumstance. So I think anyone that spends a little time looking, regardless of size, at business continuity is going to make their organization more resilient. And I think that's the big value in this. It also means no surprises or less surprises when something happens. Had you taken a look at a pandemic event, say a year ago, this would have been a surprise because of its scope and its magnitude, but it wouldn't have totally left you out in the cold like it is with some organizations, because you would have at least had a chance to have thought through it.
Is there a difference between having a plan and planning? And I'll give you an example. I worked for a large multinational company, and once a month, I had to be the one walking around with the go phone. If it rang in the middle of the night, my job was to call and tell the chairman something bad had happened. And we would have these exercises where we would pretend something bad had happened. So we were ready for these things. That to me is planning, but you still had to have the plan. And Eisenhower even talked about, you know, he didn't really care so much about the plan, but he thought the planning was valuable. Are they indistinguishable? And is there one of those activities more important than the other?
I think they're both important. I mean, I think you need to have a plan, but to get a plan, you have to do some planning. Now, that planning revolves around looking at your organization. One of the things you said was you were the guy that had to run around with the phone. One could say that falls into the area of awareness and exercising. So, yeah, you can have a plan. Say somebody writes a plan and it covers a number of various disruptions. The question then is, how does that plan become usable? And then that planning turns into something that someone is actually going to execute. So who knows who's supposed to do what and when? Well, the only way to do that is to drill people, train people, make sure they're aware of the plan, and make sure that they understand what's in that plan. So to me, I look at it as planning gets you a plan, but then you need to make sure that you train and make people aware of the contents of that plan. My best analogy is a football team. Would you want to put a pro football team in place without a plan? Probably not. You know, game plans are kind of important. Well, the game plan got put together by planning. So they sat down and looked at what the situation was, assessed it, put together a game plan, and then made sure everybody understands that game plan. I think that's the way it should work out. I don't think you can have a plan without some planning. I also don't think you can have an effective plan without people being aware of what's in it.
Sticking with that planning theme then for a second, you know, there's a no small amount of guesswork, I guess, when you're developing the scenarios that might happen in your business, but you know your business very well. If you're the an executive or if you own the business, is it a waste of time to try to guess, or should you, or are there just stock things that you should know about and plan for anyway, whether they ever happen or not? Or should you spend time trying to figure out, this is unique about my business and I know this is what could happen to me?
I like the way you asked that question, because there are unique things about every business. On the other hand is that you can't plan for everything. What you do want to do is come up with guidelines, or, you know, think of it as those lines on the side of the road that try and keep you from going off the road into the ditch. The goal is that you have smart people working for you. You have certain planning that you're going to do anyway. For example, if there's a fire, where do you all go? I mean, that's a very specific plan. On the other hand is that there could be a number of reasons that you need to evacuate a building, for example. But to the people that are leaving the building, they could care less. What they want to know is, how do I get out and where do I go and what happens next? That's the plan, and that's executing the plan. So, you know, I'm a firm believer in making sure that you have structure, that you have organization, guidelines, insights, and policies in your plan, so that the real challenge is what happens when the smart people aren't there. That's the real big reason. I mean, if you have all the people that know everything and are about your business and are there when the crisis happens, then you have that same mind, you know, that mind meld that you can do that will allow people to solve these disruptions or these crises. On the other hand, what if you've lost somebody? You have a cyber attack and all your key cyber people happen to be unavailable to you for whatever reason. That's a different problem than if you have a cyber attack and everybody's there. So for me, my biggest fear is that you lose those smart people. And that's one of the reasons to have a plan that lets everybody else with some knowledge of the business at least know what needs to be done and how. Crisis response or crisis management is a different skill set than running a business, though. You know, as they say, when the business seems to be on fire every day, you don't feel that way. But crises are, you know, it's a different mindset. James, I don't know about you, but I don't like the sight of blood.
No,
so I'm not a good first responder type person. Well, I need to know that skill set, and I need to not put myself in that position. On the other hand, is I look at crises a little more broadly, so I'd probably be better away from the blood. Others that I know, you know, if they saw blood or someone injured, would be there in a heartbeat. So part of it is understanding the who's capable of what, how. Does it have to be detailed? No, but I do think it needs to be, there needs to be an understanding. So if someone is not going to be good at you know, seeing blood, don't put them in that position, because you're going to lose them too. And I don't mean lose them physically, but they're going to be out of the ability to be part of that response.
What's the risk of not having a plan?
It's kind of like, you know, running into a building that you don't know anything about with your eyes closed. Could you get to the other side of it? Sure you could. Are you going to get bumps and bruises along the way? Sure you are. I think the real risk is that you're going to waste a lot of time. You're going to make a lot of decisions or not make a lot of decisions that would have been helpful had you thought about it a little bit ahead of time. For example, you know, in the case of, you know, of most crises, communicating with people is pretty critical. And those people being your staff, your management, your governance, you know, your boards, regulators, depending on your business. So if you thought about that up front, you won't miss somebody. You know, if you're in a financial institution, certain things happen. You need to report to regulators in a reasonable period of time. If you have a cyber attack, usually, you know, aside from your cybersecurity people, you kind of want to go to your insurance company pretty quick, because they have resources to help in that regard. Doing things out of sequence might end up costing you some money. So the, not having a plan means you didn't think it through, and you may do things in the wrong steps, which thus may end up costing you money or reputation or customers.
Well, you mentioned something interesting there, that being regulators and legislators and the concept that of compliance. You know, just because you're in the middle of some sort of business disruption usually doesn't absolve you of the requirement to comply. How do you maintain that same sort of sense of, I have rules by which I must operate, even at a time when, for all intents and purposes, the rest of the rules have been thrown out.
Yeah, I think the key in that thing is, in that case, is partly looking at what planning and, you know, kind of pre-planning you've done. If you know you have a compliance need, then that needs to be built in. It needs to be factored in. If you have regulators that you have to talk to, those need to be factored in. So you're right. You don't get around compliance. You don't get around filing your taxes. You don't get around filing your paperwork. On the other hand is that you need to know what you can do and what is within your realm in terms of being able to maybe not, you know, do things late, file for extensions, things of that nature. And a lot of organizations run into that depending on what they're doing. You can't create one disaster for another. So I can, you know, I can't stop complying with OSHA because I've got something else. You know, I had a cyber attack. I mean, they don't care. You know, and again, so one needs to be aware that if you do have compliance issues, it's good to know what they are and on what, you know, kind of what their level of importance, where they fit within the whole structure, and be able to not forget them. So if you want a kind of key note for everybody to take here is it's a lot of this planning is all about not forgetting stuff. You know, so a good plan is going to have all the stuff in it that you don't want to forget while you're in the heat of battle. And if compliance is one of those, I would make sure that that's on the list.
Well, you've anticipated where I want to take the conversation, and that is, you know, we've talked a lot around the benefits of a plan and the things you have to kind of take into consideration. So let's be very specific now for somebody who's listening. What are the elements of a good plan?
All right. There's a lot of ways to look at that question, but I'm going to try and keep it down to a simple way of looking at it. The first is, what do you need to do regarding life, safety, and security? So you've got people. You know, how do you deal with what the issues that need to be put into play in the event that life, safety, and security of people, whether they be your staff, your guests, your customers, your visitors, your vendors, are somewhat in danger? So that's evacuation, that's shelter in place, that's medical related stuff, that's, you know, the incoming hurricane or tornado warning that went up. So the first thing is dealing with life, safety, and security. The second is having a good communication plan. Who do you talk to? When do you talk to them? Who can issue what statement? What are the vehicles for that statement to go out? Is it mass notification? Is it texting? Is it Facebook? Is it, you know, LinkedIn or Twitter? You know, what are your vehicles? What can you say and what don't you say? So, you know, the key to communications is always, I like to steal from that old Dragnet TV show, which was just the facts, ma'am. And I think you need to be that way. And trying to be editorial in that situation is kind of dangerous. So knowing who to talk to, knowing what to say, knowing when to say it. And then the last part is dealing with business operations. So what do you need to do to, you know, what are those things that you need to do in terms of business functions that are the most important? Are there things that you cannot do? Right now, in the middle of a pandemic, in many cases, is people are, or organizations are streamlining. So you're looking at your business functions by what can I not do now that won't adversely affect my customers and my business? So what can I stop doing as opposed to what are the most important things that I have to do? So you have to look at the resources. So I typically look at life, safety, and security, communications, and then business operations. And if you start there, you know, obviously there are drill downs in each one of those sections and organizational structures and all, but that'll take you a long way if you don't have a plan at this point.
So kind of wrap up the conversation. You know, we are, it's hard to believe that we're still early days into this pandemic, but the reality is we've already learned some things. What have we learned that's going to be helpful for next time? Not that it's going to be a pandemic, but it's going to be some business disruption. So what have we learned?
Well, I think right now we're not quite done yet. So what we've learned, I don't know that we can wrap our hands around yet. But what that leads me to is to debrief this when you're done. So when we're out the other side of this, sit down with your staff and your team and go, what did we do right? What did we do wrong? What worked? What didn't? And then how can we prepare this for the next time? so that, you know, and use this structure. And the structure that typically comes out of this that you can kind of overlay on any of these for next time is awareness, preparation, mitigation, response, and recovery. So awareness, knowing what's going on, preparation, what can I do to be ready? Mitigation, what can we do to lessen it? You know, lessen this in the event that we did some things in advance. Response, what do we do when it happens? And recovery, how do we get back to some semblance of normal? And always put in recovery, debriefing. And I think that those five areas or five phases or steps are a template that you can use for almost any crisis itself. You know, some obviously you can't monitor in advance. Earthquakes don't give you a lot of notice. Hurricanes do. Pandemics gave us some notice, but, you know, there are, you know, cyber attacks tend not to. So, you know, you have to look at what it is. But in my case, what can you do for next time is to take a look at whatever planning you have in place, debrief it, see if there are skill sets that you can use. Did everybody understand your plan? If they didn't, there's a thing you can do for next time is make sure people know what's going on. Maybe communication was poor. Oh, not frequent enough or not properly delivered. But I think the debriefing out of this will tell you a lot about where you are in terms of crisis response and management.
Bob Mellinger, thank you for joining us today. I'm sure there'll be a lot of debriefing going on later in the year, and we should catch up again.
Thank you, James.
And thank you for listening to the BBB National Programs Better Series. Don't miss an episode by subscribing at our website, bbbprograms.org. Click on the podcast tab and hit the subscribe button. You'll find all of our episodes there, where you can listen on your Apple Podcast app, iHeartRadio, or your favorite streaming platform.
You just enjoyed the Better Series podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for a brand new episode. To learn more about our other shows, visit betterbusiness.blueberry.com. That's betterbusiness.blueberry.com. Follow us on Twitter at @BBB_NTL programs. Send your comments and ideas to podcast@BBBNP.org. The thoughts and opinions expressed on this podcast are the views and opinions of the guests, not those of the BBB National Programs or its affiliates. This podcast is for information and educational purposes only and is copyrighted with all rights reserved. This podcast is protected by Blueberry's Terms of Service.